Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole, the beginning and ending, the unity of everything in the universe, working together for the good of the universe in everything.
Yeah, emancipate yourself from every slavery, because none but ourselves can free our kind. How we got it in our mind that we need somebody help to free ourselves. Where reparations don't come from nobody else but Black Hole. Here we go, toe to toe with the beat. Oh no, this fight's solo. Watch me go pro, freeze frame, yo, no, yo, no, yo. You only live organically. I'm back and going hard. I'm black and show a god. If you acting like I'm not, well, that is no regard. I'm feeling like a lot of shoes got to get broad. I know y'all understanding me, so let's go have this talk. So we can walk this walk in the shoes of Marcus Mosiah, Mo Fire. Grab that chalk. About to kill the enemy and me. Completely defeat the fear to live in infinity. Yeah, a black hole community. Umoja, unity. I told you, you would see Ujamaa moving fluidly. The elder schooling me. It's cool with me, cause it's my show. I love my people. I'm gonna shine on them and help them grow. Gotta go through it, gotta go do it. A lot of folk knew it wasn't in this way. So they did that work for the later day. Even when it hurt and it wasn't no pay. Yeah. Still they pray and sang they songs and did they dance. So kids have a chance to break out the trance and come up with plans. Followed by activity, black liberty, maximally rejected. Only the real accepted. B&O don't make you respect this. My elders, they got that wisdom. And they take out the time to give some spectacular shine like a prism. Refracting our light out the prison of mind, body, and soul. Yes, this is the black hole. Yes, the black hole. That black hole.
Ooh, that hole is so black. And it's a beautiful blackness, family. Welcome to Black Hole, the talk show. I am your host, Joshua Sara. I'll be here facilitating this conversation with you guys tonight. I hope that y'all ready. I hope you're so ready. We're going to deal with a topic that's a little uncomfortable for some people, downright difficult, outright blasphemous to some people. But we're going to deal with it. The question we're asking today is Jesus the Antichrist? What do you think? I know some of y'all straight out the gate just hung up on me like, oh no, he did. He did. It's a question we got to talk about. Because if you look at what's going on in the spirit of our people, something is amiss. We got a whole lot of churches in the ghetto, in the unloved, disenfranchised neighborhoods filled with melanin people. So many churches, in fact, you would think it would be heaven on earth walking through the ghetto. But it's not. It's pretty raggedy, pretty unbeautiful. It's full of love that has been soured into hate and fear and anger. And yet this is contrary to the message of the Messiah, the Christ, of the Judeo-Christian tradition. So if the Messiah, the Christ of the Judeo-Christian faith is about love, how is it that so many Christians are so super judgmental? Even the scripture where there was this young boy that walked up on the Messiah, the Christ of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and he said, "Good teacher, tell me what I can do." And the Christ said, "Why do you call me good? You don't know nothing about me like that. Only God can judge good and bad." So if you can't even judge the Christ, the Messiah, if you can't even call him good by his own words in the scripture, it's in red if you got them kind of books, how then can you go out into your neighborhood and be judging people when Christ said you can't even judge me? So we got to get into this conversation, because I feel like if people are calling this name Jesus and they use it everywhere, all the time. And I've heard Christians say that there is power in the name. And as a word technologist myself, I'm inclined to agree with that. There is power in a name. What you call a thing does matter. Even if you get past just your own social feelings about a thing, you can hook up machinery and see the vibrational quality of different sounds. You can look at semantics and see how sound creates shape. And if you hold that sound, then the shape will be held. So if you keep saying a word over and over and over and over and over, it's creating a physical shape in the world. So what are we creating by saying Jesus so much? That is the question that we're going to deal with tonight, family. It's not an easy one. I took it far. I said it's Jesus the Antichrist. I took it all the way there, like the exact opposite of Christ. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get deep into why I'm asking the question like that. I know it's provocative. I didn't even do it to be provocative. I did it because that needs to be discussed. If you look at the Judeo-Christian concept of the Christ as described in the Bible, the Gospels, and we'll talk about that canonical Bible versus apocryphal things later, but for now, if we just stick with the canon of the Bible, and you go and look at what the message was of the Messiah as described in the Gospels, his message was one of love first and foremost. First and foremost, one of love, not just for yourself, not just for your sweet baby, not just for your cuff buddy during the winter, but even called it out and said, what good is it to love those that love you? Even the criminals can do that. It's real love when you can love those that's shitting on you. He didn't say it like that. You won't find that in red. But that's the gist of it. That's the message that was being preached in the Gospels. So if that's the message of the Gospels, I should see that reflected in those who say they follow the Gospels. Because it also says in those same Gospels that if you would be my follower, then do as I do. So all I got to go do is look for people that's like walking on water and turning water into what? No. I ain't going to look for those people. I'm going to look for the people that's showing love, that's going to spread the word in the whole houses, in the bars, in the taverns, in the places where the regular people whose feelings is hurt, who have given up on the world, that's where they're going. If you're one of them hypocrites that only preach to the choir and you in the synagogue of Satan, we already done heard about you from your own book that you're saying is representative of the Judeo-Christian Messiah, the Christ. I'm intentionally avoiding saying his name, Jesus, if you have not been able to figure that out yet. Because I think, personally, it's a dangerous name. Now, the place we don't start with this name, Jesus, is this. Go online. There's plenty of places where you can do an etymology search. Look up the etymology of Jesus, and you will find that it is impossible for a man born in a Hebrew family in northern Africa to have a Greek name, first of all. Jesus is a Greek name. And if the story does not say that the Christ was Jesus, why are we calling him by a Greek name? Why are we doing that? We'll get to that. But take it a step even further. There was no J in the Hebrew language. So, for example, my name is Joshua, but if I live back there, they would not say Joshua because they didn't have the J. They would say Yeshua, right? So if there's no J in the language, the entirety of the language, we know for a certain fact this man who is described in the New Gospels could not be called Jesus. There, let it sink for a minute. If you can refute that, if you can show me some counter evidence that there is a possibility that his name could have been Jesus, I'll listen. I'm very open-minded, and I like scholarly research. So I've done some. There was no J available at the time that this man is purported to have been walking the earth. No J in their language. So his name wasn't Jesus. So for the sake of this discussion tonight, let's call him Yeshua if you want to. You can call him Isa if you're coming from the Muslim side. I'm fine with either one of those because both the Y and the I were available at that time. The J was not. So we got to, first of all, stop using the J name, Jesus. If you do, in fact, believe that there is power in the name and that you're supposed to call the name, whose name are you calling if the man who you're trying to reach could not have a J? So if I'm trying to reach the emergency services of 911, but I keep dialing 811, am I going to get 911? Am I going to get the emergency service I'm asking for? No. I'm going to get a completely different person. Now, what if they pick up the phone and pretend to be 911? I'd be like, oh, what's the emergency? Word. Okay, where you at? Word. All right, I'm going to send somebody. You just wait right there. It's on the way. Help is on the way. I know you're dying. Help is on the way. And then they hang up and laugh at you.
They thought this was 911. They keep calling in the name of 911. You understand what I'm saying? You follow me on a real basic level, right? Because by the end of the night, I want to make it clear that this whole Jesus thing is an intentional curse against my melanated people. Intentional. It was intentionally set in place to keep us disconnected from our spiritual power and our spiritual truth and our spiritual wealth. So we got to unpack it and let it go. So let's take it a little bit farther. Let's deal with some of the things that are said. Why I didn't just stop and say, is Jesus the wrong name? Why did I take it so far as to ask, is Jesus the Antichrist? Let's make it real simple, family. I want it to be simple and plain. You know I got some callers on the line that have some things they want to say. And so I want to get my points out quick and early and let people just kind of marinate on what they got to say. So think about it like this. Yeshua, the Christ, had many sayings that I found in the Bible that contradict how Christianity is currently practiced and preached. For example, there are a number of things. Let me pull some up. I'm making notes down. You grab some stuff. Jesus is promoted as the only begotten Son of God, the only Son of God, the true Son of God. Begotten is different from born. Y'all should look that up because they had an argument about this at the Council of Nicaea. If you guys have never heard of the Council of Nicaea, you don't understand Christianity in its modern context at all. This is when Constantinople decided that he would make Christianity the official religion of Rome because Rome was waning and Christianity was waxing. It was getting stronger while Rome was getting weaker. And he made a political decision to say, you know what, if we embed Christianity in the image of the Christian, so we can keep our empire. So they went from being the Roman Empire to being the Roman Catholic Church. You understand what I'm saying? The same Romans that, like, was ruling North Africa, you know, tried to have Jesus killed in the first place. These same people flip the script. Sounds like COINTELPRO to me in a modern context, if you think it's through. So, at this Council of Nicaea, they had this whole argument about whether Jesus was equal. And I'm saying Jesus on purpose because that's who they were saying at that time. They weren't saying Yeshua. Council of Nicaea made a bunch of decisions about Christianity. It was the council of all the bishops at the time who wanted to come and make a common, who wanted to come and make a commonality out of Christianity. And so they wanted to agree on some things. They came up with the creeds, which is what is believed as a Christian. What are the outlines of our faith? If you haven't read about, looked up, studied the Council of Nicaea, you don't understand modern Christianity at all. When it went from being basically a people's religion and a spiritual religion to being a religion of the state, whole different thing. That's when it got canonized. That's when they came up with the Bible, the canonical Bible, and said other writings written at that time that don't agree with what we're promoting is illegal. They started burning books, books that were written by apostles, books that were written by students who were there at the time, burned because they didn't agree with what now the Council of Nicaea was saying, this is the basis. So marinate on that for 1 second. Technology thing here real quick, make sure I got everything in place for you guys. I got callers, I got some more notes, I just got to make sure all my technology is synced up. Give me 2 multi-seconds. There we go. So, yeah, so the Council of Nicaea is where they decided to say, all right, well, Jesus is on par with God, one in the same, same power, same everything. This was a decision made by a group of bishops. This was not what Yeshua taught. This was a decision made by a group of bishops to promote this as this is the canonical ideas of what Christianity is about in the Roman context. On the Roman context, because the Catholic Church is modern Christianity. Even if you call yourself one of the Protestant Christians, like Baptist or Pentecostal, the name Protestant still attaches you to Catholicism, because Protestant means you're protesting the Catholic way of doing it, but you're still using that same structure, the same basics, and just reforming it. It's a Martin Luther kind of way, and I don't mean Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean Martin Luther. You know, reform, spiritual reform, Christian reform, these things have happened where the doctrines have been argued about, have been changed, have been rewritten. Y'all get so caught up in the part of the Bible where it says anybody who changes or adds will be cursed. Y'all act like people ain't doing it, though, just because that warning is there. I mean, how many times have you seen a warning sign outside that says, don't do this thing, and you still see people doing it, even if it gets them hurt? People buy cigarettes, and there's a big warning right on the label. Don't smoke these. It might kill you. It'll probably kill you. People still do it. So don't think just because there's a warning against changing the Bible that people actually listen. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be real critical about how this is, because my people are dying from following Jesus. Yeah, I said it. We get in there. In fact, there was a woman. This is a side note. I was riding the bus yesterday, and a woman got on. And I don't know what her situation was. I was reading at the time. She got on. She went, like, to the side to pull out her money or something so she could pay. And she went to pay. And next thing I know, she was screaming. And it was like, it scared me. Like, what happened? Somebody fall? Somebody die? What happened? I look up, and I don't know what happened. But I know the bus driver was putting her off the bus. I think maybe she was trying to pay with dollars. And for those who don't know, the buses in New York, you can only pay with change, like jingle change. If you come with a dollar, they're like, oh, that's too new millennium. We ain't up on that dollar technology. You got to give us coins. So I think the bus driver was not letting her ride the bus because she couldn't pay with coins. She didn't have a Metro card happening. And so I just heard her say something like, I'm injured or I have an injury. And then she just started yelling Jesus, like in a curse word way, you know, not like in a I feel great and I love the world way, like, oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It was like, I don't even want to do it on the air because it would hurt your ears. But she was like, like that. It was like harsh. I'm sorry if I just hurt y'all. I didn't mean to hurt y'all. But that's how I felt. I was like, oh my God, what is she doing? What is she doing to the whole bus right now? It was kind of vitriolic. I like using words, y'all. I'm a poet and thing. It was vitriol. You could feel her cursing him, but trying to make it sound like she was being spiritual about it by calling a spiritual name. But if you call, I mean, you know, I don't really deal with the ideas of angels and demons so much, but I will say that if you do believe in that, then could it be possible that people are calling demons and don't know that? Could it be possible? We're going to get there in just a minute. So back to this Council of Nicaea thing. The whole point I was bringing up with that is that they're saying that God is equitable to Jesus. Jesus equitable to God. Same thing, same power, same substance, same everything. And they back it up with things like, I and the Father are one. You know, like, see, he said it right there. But then I also noticed some other scriptures. Scriptures like in Revelation, John the Revealer was bowing down when he first got there. He was bowing down to Yeshua. And Yeshua's like, get up, bro. We all brothers in spirit. Like, you don't bow down to me. You bow down only to God. That's it. We only bow down to God. Don't bow down to me. That's in Revelation. If you go off into the gospel, there were many times where Yeshua was saying, you will do greater things than me. If Jesus is the ultimate power, you can't do greater things than Jesus. But Yeshua said, you will do greater things than me. So why are you even marveling at what I do? Y'all got plenty of time. Y'all going to set it all the way off. He also reminded people of an Old Testament scripture. He said, does it not say that ye are gods? So this is the gospel of Yeshua saying, you're gods. You'll do greater things than me. Another thing he said a few times, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I need y'all to hear that for what it is. At hand does not mean on the way or coming. Like your hands, look at it. You got it? It's right there in front of you. See how close that is? See how anything that's at hand is right there with you. That doesn't mean it's coming. It doesn't mean it's on the way. It's with you. You see what I'm saying? So the kingdom of heaven is at hand, means it's right here. It doesn't mean you got to die to go get it. He wasn't saying it's on the way soon or right after commercial breaks. He was saying, here it is. What does that mean? To say I and the Father are one is not to say that I am God and God is me. He's saying that I have synced myself up with the divine. I'm living like the trees and the mountain goats. I'm just following the divine intuition in me, and that never leaves me wrong. I'm listening to the divinity in me. Thus, I and the Father are one. So the message of the Yeshua that I've read in the gospel is saying, get God for yourself. He even called God Abba, which is like saying daddy. It's real intimate and familial. You see what I'm saying? It's not sir, father. It's, hey, dad, what's up, man? Like, I need some help, dad. Help a brother out. And he was giving this language to everybody. He wasn't saying, only I can say Abba, but y'all need to say sir, God. He was saying, yo, just be like, that's dad, y'all. That's the homie. Like, he got you. He's with you. You understand what I'm saying? So if that's the gospel, that God is in you, as you, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we all brothers in this, and the only one to show love and that type of reverence to and bow down to is the Father, the divine, the mother. You see what I'm saying? Like the ultimate. If that's the message of the gospel, then anything that tells you to go outside of yourself to find God is against the gospel. Anti means against. So I'm saying Jesus and the whole Roman Catholic Church and its derivatives are the actual Antichrist, because they tell you you need vicarious salvation, that Jesus did all the work and you can get saved through that if you just ride out on his team. That's like saying somebody else been hitting the gym, and if you get on their team, your muscles are strong too. You'll be able to be as strong as them and rock with them. It's not true though, is it? That is not what Yeshua was preaching, was let me do all the work for y'all and y'all just call on my name and I got you. That is not what he taught anybody. He was giving people power to go out and do the work in the name of the Father. You see what I'm saying? Gave them their direct connection to God. Even the woman that rolled up on him, touched his clothes, and got healed because she believed that much in him, right? She believed that much in his power somehow that it healed her. And he said, by your own faith are you healed. He didn't say, I did that for you accidentally. He didn't say, you stole it from me. He said, by your faith. It's in you that healed you. So he was basically just being a mirror for people. If you see it from my perspective, he was being a mirror. People believed in him, but he believed in them. So in believing in him, they were believing in themselves. Thus, it was their faith healing themselves. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't doing anything for them other than loving them, not judging them, looking at them in their eyes to their soul and still seeing love there and treating them that way such that they could be like, you know what, this dude, all right, man, let me tell him all of my stuff. He did not say, you need to come to me. You got to come to me to get it. He said, man, go into your quiet places and pray, which means don't go in front of other people and pray. Directly said that, right? If you really want to get it in, go into your quiet places. If you don't need somebody to reach God, then somebody telling you that you do need a ticket master or a manager, a go-through, an intercessor, a pastor, a priest, a pope, somebody else to help you get to God, they selling you tickets to get to heaven, you can buy your way out of purgatory. Can y'all not see this is a hustle? This is an old hustle. This is clearly not what the gospel is saying. Clearly, like, read it for yourself. Don't let nobody else tell you what it says. Go read it for yourself. Read all the parts in red and see where you'll get any impression that you need to go to a priest or a pastor or a pope in order to reach the divine. You will not find that in there. And so that being the case, again, I'm going to reiterate, if Christ, which let me define Christ for all of those who are listening, this is how I define Christ. Christ is when you are in alignment with your divine self. Plain and simple, right? Getting into your highest being, being in line with Ma'at, always following Ma'at, which is where you would get the saying where Yeshua said, I came to fulfill the law, which means I came to live according to Ma'at. And if you live according to Ma'at, you are living the Christ life. You're Heru, which is the first story that we know of that reflects the same story written about in the Bible. So the story of the virgin birth and the resurrection and the killing of all the children, that's not a new story. It's not particular to Yeshua. That you can find most of those, the Lamb of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, all of those references, you can find those on Egyptian walls thousands of years before the Bible was written. That being the case, we got to look at this honestly, genuinely and sincerely. As spiritually mature people, not spiritual children anymore, because this idea of Jesus and the vicarious salvation, the getting it through somebody else can do the hard work, and all I got to do is jump on and say I believe. Nah, y'all, that's making us children. That's putting us in a situation where we're not able to access our power, let alone use it for ourselves. If you're being taught that you were born in sin, first of all, just by being human, you're born in sin, then black people get an extra curse because we come from Ham, son of Noah, right? Son of Noah, Ham, which is also, let's break down, you know, I'm etymology guy, so Ham is how we say it in English, but it's a guttural H, so it's Ham. Now, those of my people who have studied Kemet, you know that's a guttural HK sound too. It's Hem. Do you hear how that's the same thing? Hem. So we call ancient Egypt Kemet or Kemet, Hemites. So a Hemite and a Kemite, when it's a guttural H or a guttural K, is the same thing. Hemite, Kemite, right? So they're saying as being seeds of Hem, we're cursed. So we're born in sin and then we're cursed with being black. How are we going to get out of that? Somebody got to come and save us. So if we're constantly in a place where we believe ourselves bad by nature and cursed, and the only way out of this is for somebody else to come and save us, that makes us spiritual children perpetually. Perpetually, we'll be spiritual children if we keep living by this doctrine that tells us to let somebody else do the work. When the spiritual work is our most solid work, it's our most important work, it's what we're good at. As a people, melanated people, spiritual work is our forte. And the religion we've been given is one that makes us sit back and ask somebody else to do the spiritual work for us. Do you see why I'm calling this the Antichrist now? It is directly against what's in the Gospels, the idea of vicarious salvation. I ain't even going to get into the idea, you know, people have said Jesus comes from Zeus, the Greek god Zeus and all that. I don't even need to do all that right now. I need you to think about spiritual maturity. That's where I'm coming from. If you know that you have a personal connection to God and someone is convincing you to go outside of yourself, to go to someone else to get to God, that is anti-Christ. Christ is getting God in yourself. Antichrist is getting God outside of yourself, which means not God at all. You're not going to get God. It's like, again, calling 811 thinking you're going to get 911. You're not. If you're calling the wrong names, the right people are not going to look. And my ancestors are tired of y'all not calling them. You're calling this one made-up person with a Greek name to help you with all your troubles, all your battles, all your work. And your ancestors just sitting on standby like, holla at a player. Yo, let me come through and shango it up for you. Let me pull out this heru. They waiting on you. Pour some libation, y'all. If y'all need to call on the name of some ancestors that held you down. You see what I'm saying? Marcus Garvey loved to be called on. Nat Turner got more work to do. You see what I'm saying? Harriet Tubman rocked out her entire life. She ain't done. Call on them if you need to call on somebody. But again, the divine, the Christ is in you. So what are we going to do with that? I see I got people on the line. If you want to chime in and talk about this discussion with me, all you got to do is push the number one on your phone, and then I'll see that you want to talk and not just listen. The chat room, I'm supposed to have that open. I'm opening it up right now. Let's see here. The chat room you can get at blogtalkradio.com/blackholetalk, and, you know, just click on the link for this this episode tonight and click on the chat room. And that is now open as well. So I know it's a rough topic, but I want to hear what y'all got to say about it. I don't want to be out here just talking about this stuff and nobody wants to actually have a discussion about it, because we all are surrounded by this Jesus concept. Whether you particularly rock with it or not, you're going to end up in that same situation on the bus like me where somebody is screaming it out. You're going to end up on the train where somebody comes on and starts proselytizing. They start doing their evangelical thing and spreading the word. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, man. It's interesting to watch people go out and spread this idea of Christianity, of Jesus, of all of that. And if you talk to them about some of your misgivings, about some of your thoughts about it, they tend to turn away and not want to discuss it. They will even go so far as to say things like God is mysterious, even though I feel like God is very mathematical, and if you study math, it's not so mysterious anymore. They say things like, you know, you can't question this and you can't question that. You can't question the Bible. You can't question the pastors. And I'm like, but that's exactly what it said Yeshua was doing in the Gospels when he was a child. He was questioning the teachers, and they were astounded by the questions he asked. You see what I'm saying? So I don't come into this discussion having not read what I'm talking about. I was raised a Christian, Pentecostal, actually, which is where I started seeing spiritual technology and was really interested in it. And then we switched to a science of mind church, Christian Science, which, of course, then started developing my ideas on real the language of spiritual technology and the application and the scientific side of spirit. So, you know, I've been around the Christian context. I read the Bible for myself when I was, I think, in high school, and then I read it twice more since then. I skipped Leviticus and Numbers, y'all. I did it. I'm going to be honest. Just the numbers, it's too much for me. As much as I love math, I did not love reading about everybody's generation. So otherwise, I've read the entire Bible three times minimum, and I've read the Gospels a few times. So I'm coming from a place of having thought about this and having benefited from reading it and having learned a lot. But then there was something in there that threw me for a curve. When I came into my own spirituality and grew spiritually into a mature place, I noticed that I had this real deficit that almost drove me crazy. Like, if I was around the wrong people, I could see myself easily going into a mental institution because of this thing that, from that point on, I started to call the Christian curse. And the Christian curse is this. If, we're just going to do it all in ifs and think about what I'm saying. If we are the divine manifested, meaning God created man to have a vessel in which to come to creation, to earth, and say, I am, to be able to know what that means, to experience it, to have consciousness of I am, I exist. We can do that. I don't know that rocks can say I am and then define what comes after I am man, I am woman, I am heterosexual, I am homosexual, I am happy, I am angry. We get to choose. You see what I'm saying? We're not just going off of instinct and off of program. We get to think and choose. We get to go against our own nature if we want to. We can make this range of choices, whereas other things on this planet are compelled to follow the ma'at, to follow the pattern that was set out for them. A tree, a plant, always is going to grow towards the light. You can turn it on its side. You can try to block it. Wherever the light is, the leaves grow towards it. You put its roots in the soil, the roots will always grow towards the water. Wherever the water is, the roots grow toward. They don't have a choice. That's how it's built. But I'm saying we have a choice. We can see the light and decide to go into the dark. You see what I'm saying? I mean that, you know, figuratively, metaphorically, literally, across the board. So if we are these beings, these vessels, where God can come and say, I am, I exist, but you've been raised to believe that God is outside of you. And not only is God outside of you, God has a nemesis, this guy who has power to steal you away from God, who battles with God for control of the earth and control of the people. There's Jesus and there's the devil. There's the winner and the loser. There's this duality of good and bad. There's this judgment, right, of good and bad. Either you're on Jesus' side or you're on the devil's side. This is the Christian curse, as I call it, because when you come into self-consciousness, self-awareness, you have to have language and symbols and community around you to help you process that. One of my favorite books is by Octavia Butler. It's called Wild Seed. And that book progressed into a trilogy. And it was a beautifully written book. And it talks about people with spiritual power, spiritual technology. It might be telekinesis or, you know, psychic powers or something like that. They had different powers, transformed their bodies and things, right? But when they went from being regular to their powers developing, they all went through this, you know, like a puberty stage. It was like a chrysalis almost. And they found that by having certain people around, you could help these people go through it and they would come out with their powers. But if you didn't have people around or you didn't have the right people around, it would drive them crazy. It might make them kill themselves or people around them. It would drive them crazy. And I read that, and I was like, yo, that's really the world we live in. You can literally go to any mental institution in America and say to them, I'm on a mission from God, and they will instantly admit you. That's all you got to do. If you need a break from work, go to the mental institution and say, I think I'm on a mission from God. They will be like, sign your name. We got a nice little white jacket for that ass. Got a little cocktail for you to sip on in your veins. You see what I'm saying? Why is it that saying I'm on a mission from God will get you instantly put away in a mental institution, mental health care? They're like, you got a problem. You think God wants you to do something. You see what I'm saying? This is the culture we're in. So if you come into this awareness of I am the divine, and then you go say that to somebody, where are you going to go? What are they going to do to you? If they're not already there and understanding and expecting that and looking forward to that and have a process called ritual or rites of passage, like indigenous people got this on lock already. They already know. But here in America, you end up in college, fledging fraternities and sororities. You end up in the military at that crucial time of I'm coming into my own spiritually. And so that's when you have fraternities, sororities, and militaries breaking you down in order to rebuild you. Some of y'all know the language I'm talking about because y'all went through these processes. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you can listen to what I'm saying. They break you down. They take away your old self, your old ideas, your old way of doing things. They strip that away and then give you a new process, a new way of being that will help you be in alignment with their rituals, with their rites of passage. And I'm saying that we need to have that consciously for spiritual growth. For us to be able to come into a place of spirit maturity, you have to have rites of passage that allows a person to come fully into themselves. You see what I'm saying? That is the exact opposite of what the Christian context as given to the melanated people of the world does. It makes us go into an immature spiritual place of giving our power away to some vicarious person around, whether it be the slave master who we're told to obey. You know what I'm saying? In this Christian context, whether it be to a priest or a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, whoever, if you're giving your power away, if you feel like this person has the truth, then they're running a hustle on you. Anybody that tells you they got the truth and they'll give it to you is running a hustle on you because you got the truth. You are made as the truth. You exist because the truth is true. You see what I'm saying? Inside of you, you are the truth manifested. And anybody that tries to take that away from you is, no doubt about it, running a hustle on you. And if you can't get into a place to decide for yourself that you don't need an external connection to God, you can get it for yourself through prayer and meditation. Go sit at some water. Go meditate on the mountain like Yeshua did. Dude was always breaking apart from the masses to go get closer to God. Garden of Gethsemane, all of that. He will break apart and go chill in nature and meditate and talk to God. That's all you got to do. He said, if you're my follower, you will do what I do. So if you're not going up in nature somewhere and meditating and talking to God, you're not a follower of Christ. You're not. Because he said in the Bible that you say you rock with, and it's the word. Brother say, hey, if you want to be one of my followers, that means you got to do what I do. I heal people. I love people. I don't judge people. I rock out with God in nature. If you're not doing that, you're not what's called now a Christian. But I feel like Christian is even a stealing. You should be Christ, period. You shouldn't be looking to be a Christian. Yeshua wasn't a Christian. So if he's trying to do what he was doing, which is what he said, you'll do greater things than me. If you want to be my follower, you got to do what I did. That means you have to be a Christ. Mm-hmm. You got to be a Hare Krishna. You got to be a Heru. You got to embody the Tao. You have to do it for yourself. Every religion other than Christianity that I found or the Judeo-Christian context are all about self-development. And self-development such that you might be better used to your community. Now, if you look at the Christian community because it wasn't a Christian community. The followers of Yeshua at the time split. Some with that Peter way, the apostles, the Pope, the passed down some keys, and some went the Mary way, the Gnostics, the Essenes. I'm going to put it to you like this. Because I have read the Bible, like I said, and there was an ongoing argument amongst the apostles. And they're saying, hey, man, who's going to be
at your right hand. Yeshua, we want to know who's second in command with you, man? Like, who's next? Who's going to be your right-hand man? And he would not give them a direct answer, but it was very direct. He said, whoever is the servant. That's a very clear answer, right? He's like, you know, if you want to be the leader, you got to be the servant. If you want to be the master, you got to be the servant. Who is the greatest servant of all? You know, that's what he would ask him. And it would just kind of send him away. You know, they wouldn't know how to answer that. But read the Bible, and it'll tell you. Just read it, and it'll tell you. I'm going to tell you what I noticed. Who gave service to Yeshua? Who gave service to Yeshua? Out of the apostles, who gave service to Yeshua? Was it Peter, who denied him three times? Was it Peter, who fell asleep at the garden when Yeshua was like, hey, I just need y'all to stay awake for me. I'm going to go in here and holler at God for a minute, holler at Pops. Just stay awake. I'll be back. They own itis having asses went straight to sleep. And you got your boy Yeshua's in there like, yo, Dad, I don't even want to do this, homes. Like, can we do something different? Like, let's flip the script. We got God power. Let's change it up. And the Most High said, you know what? You're right. I got you. All you need to do is go back out there, and if one of your homies is awake, just one of the homies, if one of the homies is awake, we can switch the whole script. Yeshua's like, bet that. These the homies. They got my back. I'm going to go holler. He goes out there, and all these itis having asses is knocked out. So, you know, that was that. So now they got to rock with the whole crucifixion mode. And then Peter jumps up with a sword, chopping off ears. So by then, Yeshua's like, oh, man, it's too late, bro. I ain't asked you to chop no ears. I asked you to stay awake. Stay woke. I stay woke. Get the lessons, y'all. All Yeshua wants you to do is stay woke. Get up with God. Go meditate and pray. He ain't say nothing about go fight no holy wars and no crusades. He ain't say nothing about no Inquisition, which is one of the most terrible things I've ever read about. And I've looked deeply into slavery, and I still feel like the Inquisition might be on level, might be a little worse. The Catholic, like the Spanish Inquisition, where they were like burning people who knew how to use herbs to heal and calling them witches because they had started the apothecaries, which was the Catholic Church using like mercury and lead and stuff like that as medicines for people. That's when they was getting into the pharmacy business. And just like, you know, right now, the pharmacy business don't like us natural herbalists. They call us crazy. They'll take Dr. Sebi to court and be like, you can't say that you heal stuff if you're not a doctor. And he's like, prove me wrong, though. And, you know, he got off too. So I need y'all to start looking outside of this context that is all about give up your power to somebody else, some external force. That is the Antichrist, to think that you get your power from an external source instead of an internal force. You see what I'm saying? That is why I'm saying, is Jesus Christos the Antichrist, the very thing that is against what the actual Messiah Christ talking about and showing? So I got a caller on the line. I see Jordan is on the line, and I'm going to bring Jordan on right now. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Jordan, are you there? Hey, welcome to the show. How you doing?
All good.
Are you there,
you
bro?
Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, I got you. Talk to me. What's on your mind? What do you think?
All right, well, number one, man, I want to say, you know, what's up? I was your student. I was your physical student years back.
I remember. Jordan, I know exactly who you are, man. Quit playing. Hey, Ro Breezy, I already know, bro.
And, you know, but since then, man, I've been your spiritual student, you know, just like, you know, and I feel that. Even though I feel like I got some power to myself, you must learn from others, and you've been my greatest teacher since then. Everything you've been saying right now is being right on point with the same thoughts I'm going through right now. I'm trying to put together a book and a peace project, like some music, and I'm putting some thoughts into this, and the same things you're giving me are the same thoughts I'm putting into this. And that leads me to believe that, you know, that there's a connection, a more divine spiritual connection going on. You feel me? And that's like with everybody. So the same things you're spitting out, man, you best believe that these is getting spiritually to some folks, even some folks that ain't even in tune right now to this program. It's getting to these people. Now, you spoke that God is mathematics. Number one, I can speak on everything you said, but what really touched me is God is mathematics, and that's deep to me because mathematics is one of the greatest, mysteries that isn't so mysterious. You know, it's right. Math is math. Just like you put one and one together to make two, or five times five to make 25, that you can calculate up to God. You know, we are made of math. We mathematic calculations that put us together to make us human, to make us more than human, you know, to connect. It's all math, man. Everything is connected. I just want to say, man, I appreciate you, man. I like it. I like it. That's all I got.
Oh, what I love. Well, that's beautiful, brother. I appreciate you calling in to say that, man. But before you go, let me ask you, man, like, you know, you've been having some thoughts on the same type of thing that I've been saying. You were raised a Christian, right?
Yes, I was. I was raised a Baptist.
So where are you in that now? How do you feel about how you were raised to look at God?
Well, I feel like I was raised in a sort of lie. I was raised in a sort of lie. And I only say that because the people that taught me didn't necessarily lie to me, but they just didn't know the truth of themselves. You know, they didn't know the truth themselves to give me the truth. So in turn, that was a lie. Right now, I can say I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. Me and you go outside, the first tree you see, that's me and that tree share the same religion. You know, and that's what my religion is at. You know, it's with the water. It's with the wind. But it's not Christian. I go to many different churches today only so I can get in tune with, you know, people that have an idea, people that want some divinity. Other than that, I can't, you know, I can't get jiggy with the religion. Not Christian, that is. I get jiggy with it.
Yeah, I hear you on that, bro. Solid. Well, yeah, man, so, I mean, if you want to tell people how to follow up, you said you got a project coming out, man. If you want people to kind of check for that or support what you're doing, feel free to put that out there in the atmosphere. Where can people find you?
All right. Well, the project I'm working on is called Regeneration. You can find me on my SoundCloud. That's going to be one of the closest things to get to me. My SoundCloud is the Wismatic SoundCloud. That is Wismatic. Wismatic. My name is Jordan Lake. That's Jordan with an E. On Facebook, on Instagram, my name is Tisquenu19. TSIDQENU19. And just holler at me. It's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, brother. Well, give thanks, man. Hopefully people come check out your vibes and your network of people expanding with the people that are seeing the same thing and vibing the same way, man. So thank you for the call in, bro.
Word up, man. Much love.
All right, bro. Peace. So, yeah, I love it when that happens. I haven't seen that brother in some years, man, or even talked to him directly like that. Now he calling in my radio show. I love it. You know, I absolutely love it. That's just real work we need to be doing, y'all. Like, I work with students, and I have for the past, I think, 15 years now, and I work with students from kindergarten up through college in some of the most well-to-do schools on down to, like, second-chance high schools and even, you know, correctional facilities for teenagers and whatnot. So the real work that I find is in not telling these children that they bad or they come from sin or telling them they need to do better, but showing them something. Show them an example. Give them something to do, to study. Inspire them by intriguing them. Make them want to get it for themselves, you know? And that's the whole thing. Like, the African concept of education is not, I'm going to put this information into you like we do here in the West. The African or the indigenous concept of education is I'm going to help nourish what's inside of you already. Meaning, if I've got a mango tree in the backyard, I don't need to go put mangoes into it. I don't need to attach or tape on. I don't need to do any of that. I just need to give it the proper water and sunshine so it can bring out everything that's already in it. That's how education should be. It should be nurturing what's already inside to come out, to blossom. And that, again, just reverts back to my point of this whole Ma'at Christ life, being the Heru, of going through the struggles, going through the battles, fighting it out for yourself, getting it for yourself. You what? And with me in the gym, man, you can't steal off of my push-ups, yo. You're not getting my biceps and triceps. You're not getting my deltoids. I was in the gym. I got that. You see what I'm saying? Yeshua didn't just wake up one day and was like, oh, I got it all. Let me go share. He studied. He learned. He talked to the elders. He grew up in Egypt, for God's sake. You know what I'm saying? He grew up in Egypt, which is one of the most prolific spiritual technology places on the planet to date that we know of. he grew up there. You see what I'm saying? So he had to be learning some things, seeing some things, being intrigued and inspired. I'm sure he had some powerful teachers. I've read some not canonical texts that basically say the person of Yeshua traveled for a while. You know, he went and learned from other masters. He went through some rites of passage. He went through some rituals, and that's how he was able to have this information at the level that he had it. Now, I don't know. I'm not a Yeshua scholar. I study more in Kemet. I study more in Ilei Ifa. Those are the ones that really resonate with me at this stage in my spirituality. I love the Orishas and the Teru. I love resonating on those frequencies. I cringe when I hear people say Jesus now. Literally, fam, my ancestors rolled up on me one day and was like, listen, like, I don't like this. Everybody keeps calling Jesus, and they not calling us. I need you to go talk to our people and get them to stop saying that so much. Like, get them off of Jesus. I literally thought in my head, after I laughed, it was like, y'all got to be playing. I thought, man, it would be easy to get black people off chicken and off Jesus. And I really meant that and felt that. But it's been some time now. This has been over a year since this occurred to me, since my ancestors spoke to me on this. And so at this point, I'm just like, I'm kind of just gung-ho about it. I am free in the idea that I'm not scared to call out this Jesus character. Jesus, man, he wasn't a Hebrew. And y'all going with this Hebrew rabbi. You see what I'm saying? As the Messiah and the Christ. And I'm just saying, on a real basic level, you got to be careful with the words that you're calling things. If you call black men niggas long enough and treat them like that, it's what they become. So if you're calling your Messiah Jesus long enough, that becomes your Messiah. And then you get emotionally bonded to it. When I came into my spiritual maturity, this thing I call the Christian curse, it had me at one end. On a good day, I thought I was Jesus. On a bad day, I thought I was Satan. That's what the Christian curse does to a person that comes into the knowledge and the experience that I am everything. And if you've been taught that everything is basically between Jesus and the devil, then you have to be between Jesus and the devil. If you've been taught that everything is balanced in my eyes, that God is beautiful and loving and inside you and all around you, then when you come into that space, it doesn't surprise you. It doesn't knock you off your feet. It doesn't make you feel crazy. It verifies the world around you. Just today, I'm walking with two friends, and one of the friends was talking about playing music or doing some performances with a friend of hers. No more than 30 seconds later, that friend comes walking down the hill that we're walking up, and she says, yo, we was just talking about you. And what was he talking about? The exact same thing. I see this type of psychic connection happen all the time. And the other thing that happened after that, and we was like really amazed by it. We were all like, wow, this is incredible. Like, yo, we were just talking about you. We were just talking about you. We were just talking about the same exact thing in two different places, and now we see it. Like, we was all excited, right? And the word kept coming up, yo, that's so crazy. And every time somebody said it, I stopped them. Like, don't say that. That's not crazy at all. That's how it's supposed to work. That's our spiritual technology. Why would you think it would be crazy? Like, if you felt your tummy rumble and then you ate some food and the rumble went away, you're like, yo, that's crazy. Like, it was rumbling, I ate some food, and then it stopped. You feel something putting pressure on you, you go to the restroom, you don't feel the pressure no more, you're like, yo, that was crazy. Oh, my God. How did that even happen? Like, yo, that was wild. That was crazy. I was like, it was some pressure. Then I peed. Now there ain't no pressure. That's crazy. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying these are natural, normal processes. It's not crazy. It's confirmation that we are spiritually connected, that there is a unity in all of us. So you don't have to go to somebody else to get God. It's already in you. And any religion, any culture, any program that's trying to tell you, you need to get your salvation, your power up, your God, your heaven from somebody else. It's a hustle. They're trying to get that money out of you. They're trying to hold power over you. They're trying to use your power for their aims instead of you using your power for your aims. It's that simple. It's really simple. When you really break it down and you do the thinking for yourself, you don't let pastors and preachers and all of them talk for you. You actually come up with some really solid ideas. It's not so scary. It's common sense, especially if you look to nature. Nature gives us all of our cues. Now, our time is coming down. I see people listening, but y'all don't want to talk about it. I understand. Remember, you can always be confidential. You don't have to give your name. If your preacher might be listening right now, you don't want to get called out in church at Bible study on Wednesday. You can call them and say, my name is Bobby Joe Sue Adinkra. You know what I'm saying? You can make up any name if you're feeling some type of way about that. I know sometimes people are feeling like, I don't want to blow up my spot or I don't want to sound dumb and all that. I'm just saying we love to hear all of our thoughts. You might have that one little crucial piece that we all been waiting to hear. So don't ever feel like what you got to say is not important. So if you are on the line and you want to shout, just press the number one and we'll get you in. Otherwise, our time is running down. So I'm going to give some outro thoughts. And on that outro thought, most of the New Testament is written by this guy named Paul. Now, I'm not a fan of Paul, not even a little bit. This is the guy who was one of the biggest persecutors of Yeshua and his disciples. One of the biggest persecutors. He was a Hebrew guy who was all about the law and the tradition and did not like these new upstarts changing up the game, right? He was like the Al Sharpton, you know, the Jesse Jackson has been in it for a while. And matter of fact, we could do it even better. He was the W.E.B. Du Bois who had been working at it for a while, and then Marcus Garvey show up. You know, after Booker T passed, it was Booker T and W.E.B. And Booker T had it on lock. He was the Obama at the time. Like, John Henry Clark says this, and I don't know if it's a joke or if it's real, but he's like, if a black person in Cleveland wanted a job, the white folks would call Booker T and ask, should we hire this man? Like, you know, he was like, it don't matter where you were in America. If you was black, you had to get everything through Booker T. Washington. And W.E. Du Bois kind of didn't like that whole situation. You know, he was the intellectual, the talented 10th. He wanted to be up in the higher echelon. He wanted to have that respect. He was Harvard. You know what I mean? And you know what comes with that feeling of I'm prestigious and I'm important and I got this. But when Booker T. passed, Marcus Garvey stepped right in and swept up all the black people. And W.E.B. was kind of hot about that. Like, who this black ass nigga from Jamaica? I didn't make that up. Don't think I'm hating on the ancestors. That's the vibe. He was like, who is this guy from Jamaica? You can barely understand his language. He's extra dark because W.E.B. was with them light-skinned folks. He was on that light-skinned mold. You know, we got our color scales here. It's more pronounced in the Caribbean, but we've had it here as well. Don't act like you don't know. So, yeah, he was on that mode. So he was instrumental in trying to, you know, undercut Marcus Garvey. Now, we've heard of COINTELPRO agents. We know that COINTELPRO made up doctrine, made up comic books even, and said this is from the Black Panthers. And it's the type of stuff that would have them looked at as terrorists or monsters and all of that. But they weren't created by the Black Panthers. They were created by the FBI who infiltrated the Black Panthers. We know about people who are planted in peaceful protests to actually do something unpeaceful, to discredit the peacefulness of the protest put in there by local agents and FBI. Like, we know these things happen. It's historically documented to have happened here in America. We know it. It's a fact. It's history. And so I'm like, yo, when I look at history, I see the patterns repeat. People are people. We are not humans 2.0. Humans are humans. Been that way since we've been humans. You know what I'm saying? Like, humans got a heart and two lungs and two noses, you know what I mean? Two nostrils, eyes. Humans are humans. And we do what we do. Electricity did not start with the French people who raided Egypt. It started thousands of years ago because electricity is always here. Look at Nikola Tesla's work, and you'll see that electricity has always been here. And there's ways to tap it without the modern ways that we do it with the plugs and all of that, right? So I'm saying human nature being what it is, to me, Paul seems like an agent, a counterintelligence agent put in position to switch up the whole game and the whole thoughts about Christ. And what you should do if you want to be like Christ, you put somebody in to kind of confuse it and throw some curves in there, then you can't quite get what you were looking for. If I gave a specific recipe for how to make some Mizzier Watt
That's Ethiopian food, y'all. That is the banger. Go get some. If I gave you an Ethiopian recipe for misery wife, and you start changing ingredients up or changing proportions up, you're not going to get misery wife, are you? Nope. But what if I was like, you know, a famous chef, I wrote my books, and people are checking for the books because it's like, yo, that's the famous chef Joshua, but they're not paying attention to who the editor was, and the editor then changed some stuff. You see what I'm saying? And they just trust it all because it's all one and the same. It's all rocking. So I think that there are a lot of things in the New Testament from Paul specifically that are actually dangerous spiritually. It's the same energy of Peter, which has now translated into the Pope, the papal bull, the power that they say whatever the Pope decrees, God is going to make it happen. It's a funny movie called Dogma that showed something about that. Chris Rock was in it because I tend to just remember the Melanelia people. I can't name the other folks. They're famous people too. You'll know them. Y'all watch movies and stuff. So check into the idea. Just a day. Matter of fact, make it 40 days and 40 nights. Where you're looking for God only in yourself. And anytime you experience an outside person, just let that be a mirror to remind you of a part of God maybe you weren't considering. Because if God created everything out of what? God, since there's the only thing there is or was, right? If there was no creation, there was just God feeling like, all right, I'm God. And then God started making stuff. The only material to use is God's own self. So all of this stuff is made out of God's own self. So when I look around, I only see God. I don't care how ugly it is. If it's a crackhead, if it's a Donald Trump, it's still God. And if you are in a judgmental place, it's probably because you've been Christianized, but if you're in a judgmental place, it means you don't have the capacity to really understand ma'at, which means you might not like shit, but them trees that feed you and the plants that feed you do. And so if you're walking around hating on shit all your life, you're hating on that which feeds your source. If you don't understand the connectivity, the infinity, the I am in God and God is in me, the snake biting his tail type situation, if you don't really grasp those, you should take some time to meditate. You should go read some Taoism or something. Go look up a book called Of Water and the Spirit by Maladoma Patrice Somme. Go read some stuff that's going to get you out of the Christian context. The Christian curse says only Jesus is the Son of God. Right. Can you imagine that? I got children, more than one. You saying I can do more than God can do? God can only have one son? Why only have one? It was good to have a son that could come and hook it up. Why don't you have like one for every continent, one for every country? Why only one? It don't even make sense. One? What about all the people before? They just like, they was waiting. That's right. Oh, they was just waiting in the ground for Jesus to come, and then they rise up. Think about it, y'all. Spiritually, it doesn't make sense. Common sense, it doesn't make sense. But I need y'all to just get back to that rooted, natural place, that place they make you scared to really look into, which is the nature of yourself, where your real power is. And once it starts to unfold and come out, don't be afraid, y'all. You're not going to hell. You're not, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all you got to do is open it up. But they do make it seem like as soon as you start opening up your own spirit door, they do have movies that make you feel like you're going to hell. They do have old church people to tell you don't do that, you're going to hell. They do have pastors, pimps, what do they call it? Preachers. They do have those that will tell you to go into hell if you try to get the power for yourself. Why? Because you're cutting them out of a job. You see what I'm saying? It's economics to them. Pimps, I mean, preachers be like balling. It's mandatory that they ball out, right? No matter what their congregation is looking like. That alone should let you know, man, something ain't right. If Yeshua had to pay his taxes with some money they found in a fish's mouth and said things like the Son of Man has no place to lay his head and they had to, like, borrow spaces to do their celebrations, how would preacher look balling off the tithes of his flock, his sheeple? How he look? Wrong, anti-Christian. You see what I'm saying? So I'm about done. I'm about to make sure that my notes have been fully covered for y'all.
because I need y'all to look those things up. Oh, you know what? On my outro, I do need to point this out, because some people, I've talked to Christians, like I said, who will acknowledge that they know Jesus was not the name of the man described in the Bible. They'll even throw up and act like, oh, you mean Yeshua or Yehoshua? And I'm like, yeah. Well, if you know, why are you still saying Jesus? And they never have given me an actual answer for that. They kind of shuffle feet and look away and go feed the babies real quick. I'm like, yo, what just happened? We was talking. So there can still have a problem. If you say about this whole Jesus, you just could not be, and there is a real power. I would say that in Hebrew, they use a thing called gematria. Gematria assigns numeric values to every letter. So every letter is also a number simultaneously. It has a numeric value such that you can add letters up and get math, right? Like some of y'all heard the mark of the beast and the number is 666, 666. It's letters that they use to say that. Some of you have heard of the tetragrammaton, Yahweh, YHWH, right? It's mathematics assigned to each letter. So I'm saying, first of all, we know there was no J, so we can't even give a numerical content to J. But if we threw the rest of the letters in there, you see what I'm saying? Would it give the same mathematical output as Yeshua or Yehoshua? If not, then you know from basic mathematics, if it doesn't equal, then it doesn't equal. You can't just put a 3, then put an equal sign, and then put a 2, and we walk away like that's the way it is, and that's cool. You know that doesn't add up. It needs to be 3 equals 2 plus 1 or something like that in order for it to equal out. So I'm saying if the numerics, the gematria of Jesus does not equal Yeshua, then you're not calling the same power that's described in the Bible. And if you're not calling the power and you believe there is power in names, I'm just asking, what power are you calling that has not freed you from your oppressors for this many hundreds of years of calling this name? It is the same name he called to oppress you. Jesus is the name of a slave ship that brought some slaves over. So if y'all still waiting for that Jesus to come back, I advise you to change your travel plans. That's what I'm saying, family. And on my outro, back to who would get the right hand of Yeshua, who did the work. No, it wasn't Peter. I mean, I might almost give it to Judas just because he at least fulfilled something to make the whole thing happen. But who serviced Yeshua was Mary. The only apostle, even though she's not even counted as an apostle in this patriarchal-ass raggedy Bible, she's not even listed as an apostle, but by Yeshua's definition of who gives service, she's the only one who was written as giving service. In fact, while she was giving service, some of the other apostles snapped on her, like, yo, why is you wasting oil anointing this nigga, man? We could have sold that and made some chips. She's the one who was there at his crucifixion. She's the one who helped wrap him up. She's the one who went to check on the day after. She's the one who washed his feet. You understand? Mary. So on that note, I'm going to ask y'all to look up the Essenes and the Gnostics, because that's the other branch of what came after the New Gospel, the New Testament, the Gospels. One went with the Peter route towards the Pope, and one went with the Essenes and the Gnostics. So look it up, family. I'm going to ask y'all to stop saying Jesus completely. Completely. If you got that Christian life, then say Yeshua or Yehoshua. Yeshua ben Yosef, if you want to. Throw his daddy's name in there. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying y'all got to stop saying Jesus because it's dangerous for you. If you look at the results that Jesus has brought, the holy wars, the crusades, the Inquisition, enslavement, the Catholic Church blessed slavery, the transatlantic slave trade. The Catholic Church said, yeah, do that. I don't want y'all fighting each other over these niggas. So you can have this and you can have that. This is what the Catholic Church said. This Jesus-toting church said, it is okay. Yeah, it's the same folks to be molesting little boys. Yeah, that's them folks. They tell you sex is bad and women is the gateway to hell. Those folks. You understand what I'm saying? Watch out for this Jesus character. He comes from some people that drink his blood and eat his flesh. That's like that TV show. That's The Walking Dead, ain't it? So I'm just saying, family, if you really look at it for yourself, without the emotional side, without the tradition of your family passing it down to you, if you look at it for yourself and decide to be spiritually mature, you will have no other conclusion but to come up with that Jesus is actually bad for you, if not the outright Antichrist. that will forever keep you away from your spiritual power. So on that note, family, I thank y'all for listening in. We're going to be back here next Monday. I have a guest host next Monday, Empress AK, and we're going to have a real serious conversation on that one, too. So get ready. I ain't even going to let the cat out the bag. What are we talking about yet? I like that last minute surprise, sexy. I'm just like, oh, my God, let me tune in and see what he got to say because that sounds crazy. So thank y'all for being patient while we talk about this touchy subject. I love y'all, man. Y'all some beautiful Ethiopians. I enjoy these conversations that we've been having, and we're going to keep the conversation going. You can find the page on Facebook. Black Hole is on Facebook. So, yeah, go over there. We can keep the conversation going. If you want to chime in, add something, put some text on there, ask me where did I find this or that information, I got you on all that. Just give me a shout. Good night, Ethiopians. That's when I was supposed to hit the button and make it seem official.